blessed day. We thank you for all of the benefits toward us. We ask in our hearts, what shall we render unto you for all of your goodness toward us? It is because you're gracious and you are so merciful, God, that you choose to bestow upon us that which we could never earn nor deserve. God, we thank you even right now for the measure of strength. We thank you, God, that we're using it to give you praise in your sanctuary. This house, O Lord, belongs to you. And you declare that the prayers even that are offered up in this house, that you would hear those things and be swift to answer. And God, meet somebody in this place who's weary, who's brokenhearted, who's lonely, who's depressed, who's lost in their sins and can't find their way. May your word that goes forth today, God, accomplish what you've sent it out for. We thank you, God, for every soul, every precious soul that's in this house. It matters to you and it matters to your church. Use this vessel of clay for your glory. Extract out of it all that you've ordained for this moment. These things we ask in Jesus' name. Amen. Amen. We greet you again on this another Lord's Day in the name of the risen Savior Jesus, who is the Christ. We honor him and his Holy Spirit in this house on today. To our past emeritus and to all of the great staff of this great church, it's indeed a blessing to be in this place again. Amen. We have been blessed already. Amen. We have been blessed already. Amen. I was telling someone the other day, you never know who you're baptizing. Amen. 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 I know one thing, that the Lord has his hands on that young man. Mom and Daddy, I hope you are some prayer warriors. Because everything that we saw, the devil sees. Amen. And so you better be covering him. And you better be lifting him up before the Lord. But it is a surety that God has some great things in that young man's life. Amen. And others as well. We certainly thank God for that demonstration. Amen. I want to call your attention very quickly to 1 Samuel chapter 17. Very familiar passage of scripture that's found there. However, the context may be one that you have passed over and never really noticed before. 1 Samuel chapter 17, verse number 37. David said, moreover, the Lord that delivered me out of the paw of the lion and out of the paw of the bear, he will deliver me out of the hand of this Philistine. And Saul said unto David, go, and the Lord be with thee. And Saul armed David with his armor, and he put a helmet of brass upon his head. Also he armed him with a coat of mail. And David girded his sword upon his armor. And he essayed to go, for he had not proved it. And David said unto Saul, I cannot go with these, for I have not proved them. And David put them off him. And he took his staff in his hand and chose him 5 smooth stones out of the brook and put them in the shepherd's bag, which he had, even in a scrip. And the sling was in his hand, and he drew near to the Philistine. You may be seated. I want to go back and lift up that B clause of that 39th verse. David says unto Saul, I cannot go with these, for I have not proved them. And David put them off him. If you'll pray with us for just a few moments, I want to talk from this thought. I'm comfortable with the clothing in my own closet. Look at your neighbor and say, neighbor, I got to dress myself with what God put in my closet. And as much as I like, I can't wear your stuff in the battle. I've got to wear what fits me. If you believe that, give God some praise. Comfortable. The clothing in your own closet. You know, we've been talking about, since 2017 came in, we've been talking about embracing the mantle that's on our lives. That area of responsible authority that God has given us. and not only embracing the mantle, but exercising the message. And if you're going to be effective in embracing the mantle and exercising the message, I must say to you that you've got to pay attention to how you are dressed. Now, before I go any further, I do want you to understand, yes, it does matter how you present yourself in the external fashion. But I'm not so much talking about your suit, your dress, your shoes, your socks, and all of those things that we like to think about when we go to our closet. And while it is true that all of us understand, as the preacher read earlier, that we do have to wear every piece of the armor that Paul communicates to us in Ephesians chapter 6. He talks to us about having on the belt of truth, the breastplate of righteousness, feet covered with the preparation of the gospel of peace, the shield of faith, the helmet of salvation, and the sword of the Spirit, and prayer. We must acknowledge that we've got to put all of those things on. But I also want to say to you that beyond that, beyond the armor that all of us must wear, there are some individual and uniquely crafted items that God has called for you distinctly to wear in the kingdom. My brothers and sisters, it would do us well to understand those items in our arsenal that are ours to wear in the proper time and at the proper season. God says to us today, it's time to get comfortable in your own clothes. In other words, it's time for somebody to be okay in the skin you're in. Amen. To be comfortable with operating with your own gifts. The day of comparative and competitive church ministry must cease. And we have to begin to be true to what God has put within us. Let me tell you, as a matter of example, there was a time in ministry that I would look at other people and I would say, how is it that I can't do what they're doing? And then the Holy Spirit said, I didn't give you that assignment. And sometimes assignment has everything to do with what God has put in you. And what you have to grow to is just to be able to thank God that he did give you something. And whatever that something is, like he said to Moses, I'm willing to offer up what is in my hands and what's in my heart for the glory of God. Let me say this, that even as the competitive and comparative aspect of church ministry must cease, a lot of us need to understand this. You got to wear something. A lot of us are going from this place. This is not the battlefield, I hope. I hope you're not coming here to have battles. But when you leave and you go out there outside the door, prayerfully off church campus, when you get down the road on Winchester, that's the battlefield. And the dangerous thing is, Brother Buddy, is that many people are leaving and going out on the battlefield naked, undressed, uncovered, and without anything on. And the Bible helps us to understand you cannot go undressed nor empty-handed on the battlefield. You've got to wear something. You've got to take something. And the question we ask this morning is, what is it that you will take in the arena of battle on today? Well, when you look in this text, Israel is under attack. Israel is under attack by its nemesis, the Philistines, and especially this one called Goliath. And he's such a bad boy that he comes out every single day for 40 days and tempts them and dares them and challenges them to come to battle with him. And he says that the man that can defeat me will call it for the nation. If he can wear me out, kill me, slay me, then I'll go on back home. And Israel says, well, it's kind of a daunting challenge. It's a pretty big fella. Pretty awesome warrior. And challenges them and taunts them with verbal abuse. One-on-one battle. And all the men, even the king, were afraid to go out to meet him in battle. I can imagine the sound of this giant's voice and the imagination of his skill that they were absolutely terrified. They were greatly dismayed and afraid of him. And in the natural and based upon the physical specimen alone, to have gone into the arena of battle with this giant Goliath would have been signing your own death wish. 40 days of torment. 40 days from his mouth, the enemy of God and God's people has been spewing out and uttering things that were defying God and the armies of God. Well, Saul understood that it was going to take a brave man. He said to the man that's willing to step forth and is successful in battle, to him I'll give great riches. To him, he'll have one of my daughter's hands in marriage. To him, he won't have to pay taxes. That right there make me want to go. No more taxes. I'll go. He says, no more taxes. He will be free. But nobody wanted to take a stand. You know, it's brought me to the modern context that in the midst of all that's going on, whether it's in Washington or in your house or on your street, a lot of stuff is being said. Where is the voice that will stand up and say, not so? Well, I thank God that in the midst of that, of Goliath spewing out his defiant words from his mouth, the Bible says that there's one, first of all, who was fitted by faith for fighting. If you look at verses 32 through 37, they give us an account of how David is the one that is to be to go to battle on the Lord and the army's behalf. First of all, it says in verse 32 that he lends himself to the battle. The first thing that you have to understand, if you're going to be fitted for fighting and going forth, you have to lend yourself to the battle. Not only that, but in verse 33, even as David is the only one that's willing to go forth, Saul looks at him and underestimates what David is able to do. Later in this chapter, you see that when Goliath himself looks at David, he sees David as a cute little boy, not too big, and one that seemed to be a little soft. And he says that, are you the one that they're putting all of their hopes in? Are you the one that's actually going to have the audacity to come and face me on the battlefield? And Saul, the king, didn't have nobody else. But the one who did show up, he said, you think you're going to be able to do this? Well, David says, I know when you look at me, hear when I say this, because this applies to some of you. I know that when you look at me physically, I know when you see me, your discernment says, I'm not the one. But let me just tell you, as he goes into verse 34 through 36, this boy that you're looking at, like that young man that just sang, this boy that you're looking at that looks soft, that looks like he could not kill a flea. Let me tell you that I've been out in the field, and there were times, numerous times, bears and lions came up, and every time they came up, I had the better hand. And every time those things tried to steal one of the flock that belonged to me, I went after them. And I was successful in delivering that precious lamb out of the lion and the bear's mouth. And then even when they came from the flock and came at me, the Lord delivered me out of their hand. So Saul, before you dismiss me, I need you to understand something very clear. What has been happening is, it's not so much what I'm able to do, but you've got to be able to see that the Lord has been with me. Oh, y'all missed y'all's cue to shout right there. Out of all the things that people discredited you and told you you would never accomplish, and then they look at your life, a few years have passed and you're not in the same place you were, you're able to say, look at God in my life. It ain't nothing about me. I'm just a little bitty old something. But God knows how to take that and multiply and magnify. And that's all he did. And he had to say that by the grace of God, the bear didn't eat me up. And it was by the grace of God that the lion's paw did not kill me. And because of that, I have experience in battle. I've never faced Goliath before, but I've had some enemies. I've had to fight. And so in essence, I've learned how to fight. And let me tell you something. It doesn't matter what your enemy is before you today or tomorrow. The fact that some of us have already learned some fighting tactics. That means that you may have to change up what you do, but you know to do something. You're able to be skilled on the battlefield and do something. Don't you ever let the enemy fool you to have you to believe that because today you're facing a giant. Don't forget that yesterday you were successful because God has been with us. Let me tell you something, Hopewell. In 157 years, God has been with us. If you don't believe me, look at what you're sitting in. Oh, y'all missed it again. I said, look at where you're sitting in. Our foreparents had to sit on hardback chairs and had to sit in with the windows up. But here we are. We can push a button and the temperature goes to where you want it. You can lay back and go to sleep if you want to in here. You'll get so comfortable. Why? Because God has been with us. And David says that I know that God has been with me and he gave me some victories where defeat seemed sure. Let me just pause for just a moment and let that sink in. Anybody ever had some victories where defeat seemed sure? No. The devil ain't getting away with that one. I said, is there anybody in here that's had some victories where defeat seemed sure? But because God said no, you survived. Well, this is your text. This is your text because David says, I've been successful in other arenas. You know, when you go to apply for a job, they always want to know something about your experience. And while you have never done that job, the fact that you have done something similar gives a picture of what you're able to do. Here's what David says. When you look at my resume does not say 6'9" like Goliath is. It does not say that I've been in battle, but it says that I have protected every one of the sheep that God put in my care. And I was willing to put my life on the line. In other words, what David says is that even if it costs me my life, I have learned that I must defend what God has given to me. Oh, I heard it in the song. The young man said, he said, this means war. He stood right here and said, Pastor, the devil can't have my family. The devil can't have my increase. The devil cannot have my blessing. He was saying that what God has given to me, I will defend with my life. Let me tell you, too many of us give up too quick. A little trouble shake you and make you, and then you throw in the towel and say, I yield. No, baby. It's time to say like David, I'm going to defend. I told you a few months ago in that text that we preached, I ain't giving the devil another inch. Grandmama said this way, don't let the devil ride. Y'all, grandmama didn't sing that song. She said, don't let him get in the car. Don't pick him up on the side of the road, because if you let him get in, he'll want to drive and direct your life. You got to keep that rascal on the outside. Listen to his language. And what I've learned, Pastor Cole, is that when people have the challenge that's before them, you have to listen to their language, because sometimes we think we're ready for the battle, but if you listen to our language, we're talking the language of the enemy. Let me tell you what the language of the enemy starts with. I don't know. I don't know how this is going to turn out. I know how it's going to turn out. You got that mindset, you're going to lose. Matter of fact, you've already lost. I wished, you know how it sounds. Woe is me that I'm in this place. Listen, most of the time when you hear in the athletic competition fields that there is a David versus Goliath story, we like to see it's the little guy, the little weak shepherd going against the big mighty warrior. But this is not that narrative. This is the narrative of a fiery, competitive shepherd that says, I relish the challenge of going before that which people have underestimated me in, and then believing God that he'll give me the upper hand. Y'all missing this thing. I'm trying to help you have a better Monday tomorrow. You got to have the attitude like David. This ain't no weak boy just saying, let me go out there and fight him if I can. No. David is a confident and he is competitive. He says, ain't nobody going to talk about God. Ain't nobody going to talk about Israel and my soldiers back here. Ain't nobody going to talk about my daddy and my mama and King Saul without me taking a stand. And David says, I'm going to be the one. He has a fervent fire in him that says that if nobody else will go, and if somebody else will go, I'm going to. And here's what Saul says. Here's what you understand, that when you have been fitted for fighting by faith, those that once underestimated you have to ultimately pronounce blessing upon you. I didn't make it up. It's in the text. The Bible says that because David was so audacious, David was so confident in the Lord, the Bible says, Saul said, well, have it as you will. I'm going to give you the green light. Now, he does so. This was not one of those things like, yeah, you go on out there and die. But he says, go. And he sends a prayer with him. He says, and may the Lord God be with you. Here's where the text takes a little bit of a turn. Not a bad turn, but it takes a unique turn, because here is the place where David has come audaciously before the king and said, let me be the one to go. And he has given him the permission. He is more than happy to be underestimated in this context of challenge. And point number two is David tries on traditional tactical apparel. Here's what I'm getting to in the text. Saul says, well, since it's you going and not me, I want you to succeed. And so with the best intentions of his heart, Saul says, here's my stuff. In other words, when I was out on the battlefield 10 years ago, this is what I wore. And I need you to take this stuff and put it on because it'll help you while you're in battle. Saul transfers his battle gear to David. It's good stuff and given with good intent. It was exactly what Saul says I've used for success. In other words, you old and younger siblings in here, it was a hand-me-down of gear and armor. As a matter of fact, it was what was considered traditional soldier wear. Standard army issue stuff. If you go into battle, this was traditionally what you were to wear when you went into battle. Are y'all hearing what I'm saying? He gives him a heavy coat of armor to protect him on the battlefield. He gives him a helmet of brass that could not be penetrated to go out in the battlefield. He takes a sword and puts it on. The word says David fully dressed. Here's the problem. Fastens the sword over the tunic, locks it down, and says, now I'm ready to go. The Bible says that he begins to try to move around. He was headed toward the door, but there's a problem, he said, that I can't move in these things. I can't move in these things. Matter of fact, I can't even walk around in these things. Let me ask you a question, Hopewell. How are you going to fight in battle wearing stuff that you can't even move in? Y'all missing this thing today. You got on everything traditionally that other folks have worn in battle and won. But the problem is, it ain't your stuff. Young people, I need you to stay with me on this one. You got it all. It worked for Hopewell in 1960. And they won some major battles wearing that traditional army attire. Problem is, it's 2017. And it ain't your stuff. And the thing is, you weighted down by traditional attire that don't fit you. Yeah. used to this stuff. And let me tell you, the reason why David was not used to that stuff is because when David was out there battling bears and lions, he had a different battle strategy that worked for him. And that's why I say to you, young people, don't get it twisted. Don't get frustrated and believe you got to go over here from somewhere else to get your feeling and get your space. What you got to understand, you got to come to grips and be accepting and comfortable with what's for you. Says, want to go. Says, it's just not me. Let me tell you what happens when you wear Saul's armor as David. Your mobility is restricted. Look at your name and say, you can't move. But let me tell you something else. That if this helmet that was fitted for Saul is worn on David's head, not only is his mobility restricted, visibility is limited. So now you got two problems in 2017. You are paralyzed and you have no vision. Young Joshua generation, where you at in this house? I need you to hear me, and I need you to hear me well. Some things your grandparents, some things your parents, some things your pastor, some things those leaders that are in place right now, they did and they wore effectively, will not work for you. Some prior church traditions, nothing wrong with them, but they got to fit the context in which the battle is taking place. See, the danger with what David wore or what Saul's army wore then is that they don't fire bow and arrows now. You go out there on the battlefield in this modern day talking about you got on a coat of mail and a helmet of brass, and that's all that'll be left on the battlefield when you get done, is because they don't fight that way anymore. And the last entity that sometimes comes to that realization is the church. That the battle arena is changing daily. And the new warriors don't fight the same way that we used to. And it's not wrong. They've got to operate in what fits them. And let me tell you, some of us seasoned saying this is for you too, because there are some things that you have to become settled and comfortable in that God will use you to do. Even in this season. Two stories I have. I remember as a young boy, about 7 or 8 years old, my father was going on to be the Lord, with the Lord. I remember I would go in his room and go in his closet, and I would pull out his suits, and I'd put his suits on and wear them around the house, get them dirty, have the feet dragging all over the floor, and it would make him very upset. He would come in the room, he would say, "Son, what are you doing? You can't wear my suit." He said, "Because you're not the right size." He said, "You're going to grow up one day, and then maybe, perhaps, we'll be able to wear the same thing. You don't yet fit what you got to grow into." Another story, I remember being about 8 or 9 again. Two cousins, Marcus and Gerald, we used to play around my grandmother's house. And I remember one day it was raining, and we decided that we wanted to put on Gerald's football uniform and run around the house in the rain. Well, they were about the same size, and they put it on and ran around and came back. When it came time to be my lap, I put it on, couldn't run. Had the helmet on, couldn't run, couldn't see, pants falling down. And I remember getting back around the house after about a few minutes, and he said to me, "Let me tell you why you couldn't run your lap." Said, "You couldn't run your lap because when I joined the football team, the coach took us into the room where they give out the equipment, and he said every piece that's in that equipment was fitted for me." He said that helmet was fitted to fit my head, not yours. Those shoulder pads were fitted to fit my shoulders, not yours. Thigh pads, knee pads were fitted to fit my head and not your, my knees and not yours. And when I got through, the helmet was turned around, shoulder pads flapping against the helmet, knee pads in the place where my thighs and thigh pads were, my knee pads were, just looked a hot mess, could not run, pants falling down, because it was not fitted for see. Two lessons in that. First of all, the first story, there are some things you'll fit one day that you don't yet fit now. Second thing is, you got to understand what was carved out for you and wear that. And that's what David does. David says that I can't wear that stuff. And I like David because David did not do like a whole lot of us. We'll try to force it and we'll go. And since somebody gave it to me, since they want to see me walking in what they did, then I better make them happy and let me just keep it all. But I thank God David had some sense. David had some sense. He says, I have not tested these things in battle. Let me tell you something. The battlefield is not testing ground. You better not step on the arena of battle with Goliath talking about, let me go out here and prove this stuff. Let me go out here and see if I can swing this sword and if this brass helmet will work. You better have already proven those things. And David said, I can't take that chance. He has enough sense to say, the best thing for me is to take off what does not fit me. If you don't hear anything else I say today, some of us have got to move to that place where you have the courage to politely reject what does not fit you. Why? It's not in being disrespectful. It's in understanding that I'm the one that's got to go to battle. So David takes the weighty, the traditional tactical apparel and hands it back to Saul. Now he doesn't say, well, since I can't wear your stuff, that I'm just going to go out there, you know, believing God. But watch this. David says, I'm going to find those things that I have proven. See, let me say this. This was not in my notes, but I want to say this. Sometimes traditional does not always mean old. Sometimes it simply means natural. See, sometimes it's not that God is saying, take off those things that somebody else used that were olden days. Sometimes he says, you got to take off that which is natural and carnal. David takes off what he is not able to wear. And when he takes off what he's not able to wear, thirdly, he focuses on fighting in what fits. It says this. I want you to notice this. When you think about fighting with what fits, I want you to pay attention to two things. Always pay attention to what you pick up and where you place it. The Bible says that in verse 40, David picks up the staff, puts it in one hand. He picks up five smooth stones. He places the staff in his hand. He places the sling in his other hand, and he puts the stones in his pouch. When I look closely at that, it taught me three things about warfare that each of us need to remember. The first thing, there are some things that you've got to have revealed at all times. There are other things that you need to have ready. And then you've got to also keep something concealed. Y'all missing this today. The staff is always visible. Why? Because shepherds use staffs to guide them, and on hilly terrain, it also provided balance for them as they were going forth. You gotta always have that available and on display. He has the sling in his hand, doesn't have anything in it, but it's ready to be used in the moment where it's needed. But the third and most important aspect is that there are some things when you go on the battlefield, you can't show your hand too quick. The enemy may have seen David come with a staff, may have seen him with a sling, but he said, what are you going to use that for? There are some things you cannot expose to the enemy until it's time to use it. And too many times, he knows exactly where you got your stuff. You said in your mind, and I'm going to save this for that moment in case the enemy gets the upper hand. I'm going to put this money over here so that if I need it, I'm going to be able to get to it. And you expose it. And he goes and he destroys your resource. David has something that's constantly revealed. He has something that's in the ready state. And then he keeps something concealed from the enemy. And then what he says, he didn't go and sit down and wait. No, if I've gone through all of this, and I've went and found what's familiar to me, I've got to move in the direction of the battle. David goes forward to use what he has in battle. And now he's armed with the skilled method of combat. David is a deadly, dangerous foe for Goliath. And I think sometimes we miscalculate the power that David possessed with this sling. We diminish the strength by saying he only went on the battlefield with just a slingshot and some rocks. Let me tell you that when you do the calculations on the ballistics of this projectile that's coming out of this sling that David had, the studies show that it was equivalent to what would be coming out of a 45 caliber handgun. This that David was skilled in was not a child's toy. That when it was skillfully used, it could bring death with one accurate shot. David goes to battle with something armed. So when he lines up Goliath, he has every intention and expectation that if I hit him right, I'm going to stop him dead, literally, in his tracks. Woo! With what I have, not what Saul gave me, but young people, hear me, what God skilled me in, I can go to the battlefield with confidence that if I hit it right, I can stop the devil dead in his tracks. Somebody needs to know the power in picking out what's in your closet and using it in this season is to be able to discern that God has given you something. Listen, when David goes forth, he does not just change battle attire, but what God introduces through David is a brand new strategy for slaying giants. Do y'all hear what I'm saying? And so God introduces through David this battle strategy for slaying giants that nobody thought would work. Let me tell you that there's some things that God is getting ready to release to the body of Christ. That some things that are about to be in operation through the members of the church. That there are people who sit on the side and say, you can't win like that. But let me tell you, what I've learned to do is to trust the God in me. Have I got a witness here? And when David trusted God, the Bible says that he moved in Goliath's direction. And when he moved in Goliath's direction, the Bible says that David ran to him. Can I tell you, that's what you got to do. You got to learn how to run in the enemy's direction. And what you're saying is that I'm not afraid of what you've been doing to other folks. And I'm not fearing you even in this moment. And in running toward that giant Goliath, the Bible says that David slung his sling. And he began to wind that thing up. And the Bible says that he slung it toward Goliath. And he hit him square between the eyes. And when he hit him, the Bible says that like a bullet, it sunk into his forehead. And down Goliath went, the one that had been tormenting the armies of Israel, the one that had defied God's name, the one that had challenged those on the battlefield, is now laying there slain because of David. What are you saying, Pastor? I'm trying to tell you that there's somebody in this room that when you begin to wear what God gave you, there's giants that are going to fall in your life.
and there are things that's going to be destroyed because of the gift. And what you've got to learn is you got to believe God for the gift in you. You got to trust God for the gift in you, not because of who you are, but because He chooses to manifest power even through the weak. You don't believe it? Paul said His strength is made perfect when, yes, when I'm weak. I thank God that when I'm at my lowest and the battle is raging in my life, I got somebody that enters the battlefield on my side. I may have enemies all around, but that one that comes in the camp that lines up on my side. Paul said, if God is for us, who can be against us? Have I got a witness here? I don't know about you in here, but I'm learning every day how to get comfortable with the clothes in my own closet. I don't know about you, but I'm not trying to be somebody else, because God can use who He chooses. And I thank God that I'm on the battlefield for the Lord. Can I ask you a question? Is there anybody here on the battlefield for the Lord? Say yes. I don't know about you, but I'm so glad that I'm on the battlefield for the Lord. And on that battlefield between David and Goliath, God got a victory on that day. I don't know what day of the week it was, but whatever day it was a praise day. Can you imagine in all of Israel to find out that the enemy Goliath that had tormented the saints of God, that had tormented the armies of God, is now slain, is now slain? Can you think of how it would be if all of us went on the battlefield wearing our own stuff? Don't you know giants do fall? Giants do fall. Giants do fall. Have I got a witness here? Anybody ever been in trouble in your life? Won't the Lord see you through? Say glory. Hallelujah. I thank God for my trouble. He brought me through my trouble. Have I got a witness here? Have I got a witness here? Say yeah. Yeah. Woo. He's all right. He's all right. Anybody tried him? Anybody trust him? Anybody training every day to have victory in your life? Can you wave your hand? Men, can you wave your hand? If you're gonna be like David, I will trust in the Lord every day. Yeah. Can I tell you one more thing? They thought that when they took Jesus and hung him on the cross, they thought when they stretched him wide between two thieves, they thought when he hung his head in the locks of his shoulders, they thought when he died there that it was all over. But I'm so glad God has power to turn Friday into Sunday morning. Anybody glad that Jesus got out of the grave? All power in his hand. Yeah. Slap your neighbor a high five and tell him there's power in the name of Jesus. Power in the name of Jesus. Power in the name of Jesus. He reigns forevermore. Go to battle home well, knowing you can win, because God is able to keep you and your mind in perfect peace. Don't worry about it. God is able to do exceedingly and abundantly above of what you ask and can't imagine. Trust him with your whole heart. He will. The clothing in my own closet. Somebody needs to hear that. Let me share the difference with you. It is of a surety and a truth that you have the Holy Spirit. But let me tell you, your effectiveness is tied up in you being who he made you to be. What thrust this ministry forward into continued relevance is that every generation steps forward with the deposit of the Holy Spirit and the gifting of the Holy Spirit into operation, into how God is choosing to use you. You cannot base that upon what God has already done. And many times you cannot anticipate what God is going to do later. All you can do is surrender in this moment that everything about me, I'm giving it to you. Everything you say, I'll do. Everywhere you sin, I'll go. That's what David teaches us today, that whatever the battle is, God needs somebody, first of all, that's not scared and that will set themselves in what God has trained and made you comfortable in. It is the flowing of the Spirit in authentic and genuine authority that's going to change the landscape of our culture. See, we're waiting and we're complaining about Washington and the White House. Get past that. That man only has 4 years, if y'all go to the poll, of whatever he's going to do. Get over that. Because let me tell you, the reality is they felt the same way about the one who just left. So that part is not going to change, whether it's us or someone else. Somebody's not going to be happy. What we have to do is we have to, as the church, begin to operate in what God gave us and then flavor society with the gifting of the Holy Spirit. True to ourselves and true to God. That's the only thing that's going to change. And so I extend an invitation right now. This is the altar day where we not only extend the invitation to salvation, but I need those of you who've been scared. I need those who've been disobedient. I need those who've been trying to be somebody else. Been trying to wear what you think other folk want you to wear. I need you at the altar, because today is the day you get it right. If you're able to stand, can you stand in this place?